You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful. You are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. It is Friday, February 5th, 2021, and we are previewing Super Bowl 55 here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Patriots Nation, thank football in Foxborough. It is Friday, and thank you very much for joining me here today on the pod. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed and very much appreciated. Share that feedback and send it to the internet by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And while you're out there giving the weekend nod and saying how you doing to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at @LO_Patriots. Pats fans, the kickoff to Super Bowl 55 is mere hours away. And I know it seems a little odd that Tom Brady is going to be in the Super Bowl, but the Patriots are not going to be in the Super Bowl. But that being said, the stage is set for an amazing game coming up on Sunday. Kickoff set for 6:30 p.m. this Sunday, February 7th, 2021, Raymond James Stadium, Tampa Bay, Florida. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, playing in their home stadium, will host the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs come into this game, at least as of the time I'm recording this podcast, folks, as three-point favorites per our friends at BetOnline.ag. Also from BetOnline.ag, the over-under set at 55.5 for this contest. The forecast for this game calls for clear skies, a high temperature of 70, a low temperature of 52. The game itself, along with all of the regalia that goes with it, will be broadcast by CBS, the weekend bringing you your halftime entertainment. And of course, most importantly, one of the more marquee matchups we've seen in Super Bowl history between two amazing and prolific quarterbacks. Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a name we all know very well up here in New England, folks, going up against Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Two teams with amazing arsenals at the offensive skill positions, two teams with very capable and very stout defenses, each team very well coached, and you have the makings for what could be an instant classic coming up this Sunday. And because the story of the day in all of the NFL continues to be Super Bowl 55, that's exactly what we're going to preview here on Locked On Patriots today. And to help me do that is a man who not only covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for full press coverage, he also happens to be a valued colleague, analyst, and my best good friend, Ian Glendon of Full Press Coverage, joins me here today. And the editor-in-chief himself and I will break down Super Bowl 55 and what you can expect to see on the field between the Chiefs and the Bucs. And anyone who's taken a glance at Ian's Twitter account or has listened to the both of us on FPC Radio Live every Monday through Friday knows that we have a great deal of respect and admiration for Tom Brady. That respect and admiration has not gone away since Tom has gone down to Tampa, but if we're being honest, it was born when he was a member of the New England Patriots. So does Ian find it a little odd that he'll be watching Tom Brady pursue Super Bowl championship number 7 wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform as opposed to a New England Patriots uniform? If I'm being honest, folks, it's going to be a little awkward for me to watch that, but we'll find out what Ian has to say on the subject. But don't forget that this is Locked On Patriots, and Ian and I will be discussing the matters at heart when it comes to your favorite team in Foxborough. There's a new addition to the quarterback coaching carousel when it comes to prognostication for 2021, and that's Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Initial indications were that the Eagles were a bit reticent to trade Carson, but some of the trade rumors have heated up over the last couple of days. And guess what, folks? Some of those link him to the Patriots. Ian and I will give our thoughts on whether the Patriots should entertain the idea of bringing in Carson Wentz as their quarterback for 2021. And last but certainly not least, this being Super Bowl week, it's going to give Ian and I an opportunity to have some fun. We'll be talking about our favorite Patriots Super Bowl moments over the last two decades. And if you're feeling a little down about the Pats not being in this weekend's game, folks, just think about all the great memories that we've had here in New England for the past 20 years. The Brady Belichick era was an amazing run, an amazing ride, and no matter what the future holds for this franchise, those are memories that can never be taken away. Folks, a fun, informative, and action-packed agenda on the pod today. It's always a blast when I get to welcome my good buddy in to share the microphone. And in just a moment, Ian Glendon, editor-in-chief of Full Press Coverage, will join me here on the hot seat, where we will discuss whether the latest rumors surrounding the quarterback carousel and the Patriots' interest might land Carson Wentz in New England. We'll talk about Tom Brady's pursuit of ring number 7, share some of our favorite Patriots Super Bowl memories, and of course, last but not least, give you our thoughts and game predictions when it comes to Super Bowl 55. All this and at least one Seinfeld reference when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, Locked On listeners, when it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. After all, it's a new year and a great opportunity to hit new goals. And the best part is that Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout right from the comfort of home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. And the EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Plus, Echelon's world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily, live, and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. One membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's Echelon fit.com/lockedon. Echelonfit.com/lockedon. Locked On listeners, get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Patriots fans, my guest today is a great friend to Locked On Patriots, but he's a better friend and a better colleague to me. On the eve, or I guess close to the eve of Tom Brady's 10th appearance in the Super Bowl, he continues to tirelessly fight the good fight for logic when it comes to all things related to Tom and the connection he's always going to have here in New England. That's why he's still here, but don't let the Florida address fool you, folks. There is still a great deal of New England red, white, and blue in this man. He is the editor-in-chief of Full Press Coverage, the host of a plethora of shows on FPC Radio, including FPC Radio Live, on which I am honored to share the microphone with him each and every Monday through Friday morning, and the latest and possibly greatest members of the Buccaneers beat. He is my esteemed colleague, my best good friend. Ian Glendon joins me today. Ian, hello.
La la la. What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me here. And I always appreciate the very lengthy introduction. I enjoy it.
Well, the lengthy introduction is definitely well deserved. It's well earned. And you know, I couldn't think of a better time to bring you in than the our last show here on Locked On Patriots before Super Bowl 55. Tom Brady suiting up for this one. You know, that's usually a cause for celebration in New England, but, you know, it's a little different this time around. Tom's wearing his new Tampa threads, and it's not Patriot blue. It's a bit weird for Patriots Nation, but this is a Super Bowl preview show, folks. We will get to Tom and his pursuit for ring number 7 in just a moment. But again, buddy, this is Locked On Patriots. So we do discuss the latest news, notes, and analysis from Foxborough, and the Patriots are a team that is going to be expected to be in the market for a quarterback in 2021. We hear rumors a lot about Cam Newton possibly coming back to New England. We've heard a lot about Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Ryan Fitzpatrick, even Derek Carr now recently trickling into the conversation. All of these names have been linked to the Patriots in this offseason, and then some. That's just scratching the surface. Stafford, obviously, you can cross off that list. He's in L.A. He's not coming to New England. But on Thursday, rumors started to resurface a little bit surrounding Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. And
we know a lot about the Eagles a couple of years ago, and wasn't exactly a great memory for Patriots Nation. Wentz was down with an injury. Nick Foles comes in. We all know the rest. But Wentz, I think, represents a tricky prospect for any team that's going to take him on, especially the New England Patriots. He's got talent. I don't think there's anybody that's questioning whether or not there's talent there. But he's regressed this past season, and I think it would be a pretty big financial risk for the whatever team acquires him, especially the Patriots. Don't forget, Wentz carries that pricey four-year extension. It doesn't start until after the 2021 season, but that's going to carry a cap hit of north of $30 million for whatever team takes him on. And for the Patriots, even though they're flush with cap space this year, that's a pretty big hit. The Eagles would be responsible for a good deal of that money if they traded Watson. So if you're looking for a silver lining there, folks, that might be one of them. But Ian, you know the Patriots quarterback situation as well as anyone. We've watched Tom Brady run it up here for 20 years and run it well. This year was a bit of an anomaly, but a lot of people still have that in Bill we trust, in Josh we trust type of mentality. Indications are that Philly doesn't want to trade Carson Wentz, but if he becomes available and that stance changes, do you believe this is someone that the Patriots should be taking a look at?
I don't know. I've seen a lot of really not just bad situation for Carson Wentz, because he's certainly not had the greatest of situation around him, and I'm not going to fault him for that. But you mentioned regression, and if you watch his mechanics, they're some of the worst I've seen in a very long time. I mean, just from a guy who certainly was a top pick in the first round. So I don't know if I, you know, want the Patriots to take on that burden of trying to fix that on top of having, like you said, to pay him a lot of money. Now, again, if the financial situation wasn't what it was, maybe you take a flyer, see what happens, see what you can do, get him, you know, under, a pretty good coaching staff. I mean, again, I don't think, as much as we knock the Eagles, I'm not sure the coaching, I mean, obviously, Doug Peterson is no longer there, but I don't think the coaching situation was horrendous for Carson Wentz. Could it have been better? Absolutely. But I don't think it was that much of a factor that it caused him to regress in a lot of ways that he did throughout the season to last. So, excuse me. Whether or not I want to see the pay, I don't know. I'd probably lean on no, just because, again, I feel like if you're going to take on a project next season when it comes to a quarterback, I'd rather them go year two with Cam Newton and build off a lot of positives. There were negatives, sure, but there were also a lot of positives that you know you can count on. Most importantly, in the leadership locker room role, whereas with Carson Wentz, one of his biggest issues is his confidence. And you can't lack confidence and be a good leader in the NFL. So we know what we're getting in Cam Newton, that department. We know what he can do on the ground. It's a matter of fixing the issue in the passing game. And part of that has to do with the personnel around him. But I also think it's easier for the Patriots to go into that situation with someone that you already know and just work on that one tool, as opposed to completely trying to rehabilitate Carson Wentz while also trying to rebuild your own team.
Yeah, those are my thoughts too. Big surprise, folks. Ian and I agree. If you listen to FBC Radio Live in the morning, you know that Ian and I agree more often than not. We've been accused of sharing half of the same brain, but you know what? This is the half that works because I agree with you in basically everything that you said. First of all, you take a look at the price tag that it's going to take to get Carson Wentz. You have to figure that the Eagles are going to be looking for at least a first rounder in exchange, especially after the haul that Detroit just got for Matthew Stafford. Now, I'm not comparing the two quarterbacks. Stafford is definitely the more of a gem of the two of those guys, but the Eagles are not just going to deal this kid away for absolutely nothing. They know they have value. I think even Adam Schefter said earlier this week that would be the likely starting point for negotiations. I don't think the Patriots part with a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. That price would have to drop significantly, and I don't think it will. You mentioned mechanics. You look at Carson Wentz's mechanics. They have not been good. He started like gangbusters in this league, 11-2 start, really off to a great start in 2017, got injured before Philadelphia won its first Super Bowl, and he's never been the same type of quarterback. He showed flashes, but he's never been about the same type of work ethic, the same type of output on the field. I shouldn't say work ethic because I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Carson Wentz, but it seems like there's a step missed and there seems like a confidence problem there too. Like you said, you don't have to worry about that with a guy like Cam Newton or maybe some of these other quarterbacks that the Patriots are being linked to. With Carson, it would be a project, not rehabilitate him just on the field, but rehabilitate his own confidence, his own ability to be able to make plays on the field. So I'm with you. I'm a no on Carson Wentz. I know I'm a negative person when it comes to outside quarterbacks and big names. I've kind of downplayed every one of them that the Patriots have been linked to because I think they're going to focus their resources elsewhere this year. This is going to be a year where you're going to see a bridge quarterback, whether it's Cam, whether it's another guy, just my gut reaction. But the feeling I get in talking to the people close to the team, it seems like that's more of a chance than not. But I love talking quarterbacks with you, buddy. And you know that if the Patriots start to get seriously involved in any of these talks, we're going to have you right back here on Lockdown Patriots to talk about it. But you know there's a reason why I brought you on the show today, bud. You know it better than anybody. From the quarterback of the future, we're going to slip back into some of the talk of the past because, after all, it's Super Bowl weekend. The greatest Patriot of all time is playing in this game. And as I said just a moment ago, he's not playing as a New England Patriot for the first time in his career in the Super Bowl. And with all of the success that Tom has had here in New England, it's still amazing to me that there are a notable number of Patriots fans that are actually rooting against this guy. I've said all week long here, as a fan, you have a right to cheer or boo anyone you like. Nobody's berating you for doing that. That's completely your prerogative. But when the owner of the New England Patriots gives his seal of approval to Tom, that's good enough for me. And we're both Patriots fans, born and bred, my friend. But if I'm being honest, it's going to be a little odd seeing Tom playing in the Super Bowl wearing a Tampa uniform as opposed to a Patriots uniform. What are your feelings heading into this game?
It's never odd seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I don't care what jersey or sweater he's wearing. He's Mr. Super Bowl. Hashtag Mr. Super Bowl. I want to put that out there. Look, yeah, it is a little weird. And look, I'm with you, too. I don't understand the the hate or just the utter disappointment that some fans feel surrounding Tom Brady. And I'm like, you're missing an opportunity to a once in a lifetime opportunity to keep cheering for this guy, because, you know, we sit here and joke and say, yeah, the guy's going to play till he's 50. I mean, to be honest, every day that goes by, I feel like that's less and less of tongue in cheek and more closer to reality than anything. But
yeah, you're right.
You know, we can sit here and say he's going to play forever, but the reality of it is he isn't going to play forever. And yeah, you know, it's unfortunate that he's not, you know, wearing the Patriots jersey, but I've been very, I guess, consistent from the very drop of the hat when it comes to when he signed with the Bucks. It's like, I have no problem rooting for Tom Brady and putting all my support behind him, assuming that it doesn't negatively impact the Patriots. And obviously, Patriots didn't make the playoffs. NFC, AFC, there was no direct impact during the regular season. So, yeah, to me, I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, it's a Sunday in February and Tom Brady's playing. So all is normal. I mean, let's be real. This is his fifth Super Bowl appearance in 7 years. I don't know. It's amazing. It's hard to even to continue. And that's not the, you know, that's just a portion of his Super Bowl success in his career.
And to think he's doing all this at a time where he was supposed to have fallen off a cliff at that 5 to 7 year range. He's just continuing to pile up Super Bowl appearances, yeah, continuing to pile up, you know, great wins and really just enhance his legacy as the greatest of all time. And I don't think there's any question about it. At least there's no question about it when it comes to us and when it comes to most of Patriots Nation. The rest of the country, well, we'll see on that. But, you know, I think you make some great points. It really, there is a sense of normalcy to seeing Tom in the Super Bowl. I think that watching him play, no matter what team he's playing for, will be a comfort for Patriots fans. But there is still that what if. I wish he could have done this again with the New England Patriots, and I wish it could have been different. But you know what? Bottom line, and something that I don't think a lot of Patriots fans maybe want to acknowledge or maybe don't want to cater to, it probably wasn't going to happen for Tom if he stayed in New England. I don't think he'd be ready to play in this game or getting ready to play in this game if he stayed in New England and they kept the same roster that they had this year around him. The quarterback play would have been a lot more solid, but I think the Patriots were still deficient on defense and deficient definitely at the offensive skill positions to be able to provide him with enough to be able to carry this team. So Tom made his decision. He's playing in Tampa Bay, and it's going to be a great game, folks, without any question. Ian and I are just scratching the surface when it comes to our Super Bowl 55 preview. In just a moment, our dynamic duo here will give you our thoughts and our game predictions. But because this is Locked On Patriots, we're also going to indulge in the opportunity to talk about our favorite Patriots Super Bowl memories. More on this Super Bowl weekend edition when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues.
Locked On listeners, the big game is just hours away. Tampa Bay versus Kansas City. Two of the greatest quarterbacks in the game today. Strong defenses, great offenses, awesome coaching. What more could you ask for in a big game? Well, you might want to test your prognostication skills and maybe even put them to good use, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. If that's your thing, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag has you covered with the latest lines, the over-under, points allowed, points scored, MVP choice, prop bets, and so much more. So don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Don't delay. Do it today. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Locked On listeners, betting on the NFL does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pats fans, Ian Glendon of Full Press Coverage joins me here today on the pod. Big game weekend, Super Bowl 55, right in our sights. And Ian, it's just hours away, and it doesn't feel the same way for Patriots fans, I know, but there is still a pretty strong buzz with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski set to take the biggest stage in pro football. We're going to get to your game prediction, our game predictions in just a moment, folks, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to wax poetically, since we're going back in time a little bit and getting nostalgic. When you think about the past two decades here in New England, bud, 9 trips to the Super Bowl, 6 wins, a ton of great memories. I think this is a harder question than it seems, but I'm going to pose it to you anyway. If you had to choose your favorite Super Bowl memory, or maybe a couple of memories, to be fair, because I don't want to put you right on the spot. If you had to choose a couple during this Brady Belichick era of the last two decades, what would they be and why?
It is. It's a tough question. It kind of speaks to how spoiled we have been over the last two decades because, well, part of me wants to say the simple answer is it's the first one, the very first one, the improbable run to the Super Bowl, the big upset of, you know, the heavily favored Rams. And, you know, for someone my age who's 34, it was the first championship that I'd ever seen a New England team win, having been born in 86. And after the Celtics had won, you know, their last title at that point before 2008. So, you know, you can sit there and talk about the comeback. 6-year anniversary of that is today, obviously, against Atlanta. The comeback, the impact of Super Bowl 49, I think that was the biggest legacy cementing game. I mean, you know, if you consider it was for the, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time, it would probably be the biggest in NFL history. So, solidifying him as the GOAT and all that stuff. Like, there's so many great moments and championship game history, Super Bowl history, but I got to go with number one, man. The first one, the one that kind of changed everything in this region, not only for the Patriots, but, you know, just for the entire region and all the teams and whoever kind of lived through it all.
Yeah, I think you're hard-pressed to say that the first one is not probably the most sentimental, maybe the most special, certainly the most shocking. Going into that game, all you heard was the greatest show on turf. You know, we've got Ricky Prohl forever, indelible on screen. Dynasty begins, baby. But you know what? Mm-hmm. He was right. He was just wrong about the team.
Yeah.
And you've said that several times. Amazing. From Ty Law's interception to Adam Vinatieri's, improbable kick to win it. Maybe not
John
enough
Madden.
Credit for absolutely.
John Madden's, I wouldn't do this.
Here, you know. Well, here's a guy that should take a knee. Yeah, it's true. They really, that's exactly what everyone expected them to do. Take a knee, play for overtime. Tom Brady wasn't having it. Bill Belichick wasn't having it. You knew at that moment this was a different type of team. This was a different type of mentality. These were two guys that weren't afraid to go for it when they knew they could do it. Also a team that was introduced as a team. that was a big moment for a lot of NFL teams. You see them do it now without even batting an eyelash, but that wasn't done prior to the Patriots doing that. They were doing that all season long. They took that mentality with them into the Super Bowl, and they were able to do it. So that definitely is at the top of the list for me as well. You also look at the Malcolm Butler interception from 49. I mean, one of the greatest individual Super Bowl moments, I think, of all time. When I think of Super Bowls, and I think of especially Tom Brady, and I've said this a few times here on the airwaves, the 34-28 comeback, which today is the anniversary of, folks, Ian hit the nail right on the head there when he said that. That comeback was amazing. You look at that on the field. I'll always remember Tom Brady looking for his mother after that game, embracing his mother, Galen, who had been fighting cancer for the past year. That was one of the few times in Brady's professional career until that point that the next one wasn't about a first down. It wasn't about a divisional victory. It didn't even indicate the championship that he had just won. It was the next one was just allowing his mother to be able to see him play one more time, make his mother proud. For all of the on-field heroics we've seen Tom accomplish throughout the years, and we've seen him do tons, it was this moment, I think, that was so poignant, and it showcased Tom Brady's emotional durability. We saw Tom Brady the man in that moment. We saw him the human being, the son, the father, the husband, the guy that cared more about his family than anybody else. And even though he seems too good to be true at times, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why this guy is so hated throughout the country, football didn't matter to him at that moment. All that mattered was the health of his mother, his family being around him. That may be one of the greatest motivational factors for any athlete, and it certainly was for Tom in that day. So I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for that. Seeing him embrace his mom and be able to have her enjoy that moment with him, it was an emotional year for Tom. It was an emotional year for the Brady family, and they were able to get through it. So great memories. We're going down memory lane, but you know what, buddy? There is a game to be played this weekend, and there is going to be a tough game to be played this weekend. I think on both sides of the ball, Kansas City and Tampa Bay, I think match up a lot better than people are giving this matchup credit for. We have our own thoughts about this game. We shared a few earlier today on FBC Radio Live. We've talked a lot offline about this, but the floor is yours, my friend. Super Bowl 55, Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, Florida, your neck of the woods, the Bucks hosting the Chiefs. As the late, great Gorilla Monsoon would say, buddy, the time for the talk is just about over. What are your thoughts on this matchup? What's your game prediction?
Look, the more I think about this matchup, the more I look at the line. And not the betting line, but the line, the Kansas City offensive line. And these two teams are so evenly matched in what they're able to do, maybe not in how they do it, but just their capabilities, both offensively and defensively, that it's going to take such a minor thing to really shift the balance. Because I look at a team that, and credit to our FBC Chiefs managing editor, Braden Holacek, who pointed this out in one of the shows that we did together, and this grouping of Chiefs offensive tackle or offensive linemen have only played 17 snaps together, and they're going to start the Super Bowl. And that's a tough thing to deal with. And then you take into account what the Bucks are countering with on their defensive line. And I think ultimately that's going to play the biggest factor. So the Chiefs can't fall behind in this game. They have the capability to come back, but as we know, you know, given it is the 6-year anniversary of, you know, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, as we know, it does take actions of the ultimately losing team to help the comeback. And the thing I see is Tom Brady's not going to make those mistakes. So you're not going to get any help from Tom in that offense to complete a comeback. So the Chiefs, history of falling behind early in these games, I don't think is something that they can lean on. Yes, do they have the ability to score and come back? Absolutely. They can do that against any team. But you're not playing Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Playing Tom Brady. So my heart obviously says Brady. My gut is telling me Tom Brady. And when I go as objective as I possibly can, I say Tom Brady and the Bucs offense and defense just get the job done. All playing great football right now. And like I said, are you going to bet against Mr. Super Bowl? I don't know.
I'm not betting against him. And you know what? I outlined a little bit yesterday and kind of tipped my hand on a game preview in terms of what I believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can do, not only to help contain Patrick Mahomes on the offensive side of the ball, but also attack the Kansas City defense on the defensive side of the ball. If I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm looking at the Patriots' defensive game plan from October 5th. I know they lost that game 26-10, but the New England Patriots have always done a good job of being able to keep Patrick Mahomes in check. How do they do it? They use man-match coverage, folks. They take their best corner, they put them on a receiver that they want to isolate, somebody that they know they can win a one-on-one battle with, and then they set their coverage players in the field to be able to take on some of their more prolific receivers. Guys like Travis Kelce, guys like Tyreek Hill. You don't want to put a one-on-one matchup with these guys because they'll win it every single time. But if you put coverage in the field on this, make it more of a team effort, I think you can have some success. The other side of it is putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I know that Tampa's going to be tempted to blitz him and blitz him often. Patrick's a little too good for that. He's going to figure it out. He's going to utilize the short passing game. That's where he can really go to work. And Andy Reid's schemes, his misdirection concepts, are some of the best help that a quarterback can get in the league. Kansas City is so fast. They can bend guys in the wrong direction and really change the complexity of the game. But if Tampa Bay's, like you said, if Tampa Bay's defensive line can attack the deficiencies on Kansas City's offensive line, then all of a sudden you're putting him on your heels. And they do have a big deficiency this week in their offensive line, losing Eric Fisher. Mitchell Schwartz on the other side obviously is definitely not playing. The starting right tackle, the starting left tackle was out. This is the opportunity for Tampa Bay to take advantage. You mentioned keeping the game close. Don't get down. That works to the advantage of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in my opinion, as well, because one of the big things about a Steve Spagnuolo defense is they like to play big nickel. They like to play the dime packages. They like to play with six defensive backs. It really allows them the opportunity to have defenders all over the field. And when Steve's utilizing that defense to his strength, it's a very good defense and a very tough defense to score on. One vulnerability area that does exist is the power running game. I mentioned that Damian Harris had success against that type of scheme. He ran for 100 yards, 17 carries. Tampa Bay didn't get a chance to establish their running game last time. They fell down 17-0. Brady had to air the ball out, and he did it fairly well. They only lost that game by 3 points. If this game is close, I'm Tampa Bay. I'm taking advantage of that. Tom's not too proud to do it. He'll be accurate. He'll be, on his game when it comes to making, precise completions. But he's not too proud to utilize the running game. I think that could be the deciding factor in here. So, Bud, you have a final score prediction for us all here on Locked On Patriots. What say you when it comes to the end of Super Bowl 55? I know you've tipped your hand and you think that Tom Brady's going to be hoisting number 7, but how do you see this all playing out?
34-28. We love that score, and I think
34-28.
Yep. I think we're going to get it this time again. So.
And I think the old habits die hard. That was not intentional. That was a Freudian slip, folks. I think the Buccaneers get their 34. I do think that the Kansas City Chiefs get 31 in this. I'm giving them a couple of more points credit, but I think ultimately, I think it's going to be that power running game that's going to keep this close, and it's going to give Tampa Bay the slight edge. Call us homers all you want, folks, but we're going to go with it. I go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I say they win this by a final score of 34-31. Buddy, what can I say? I thank you so much for joining me here today. This was the perfect opportunity to bring you on, to talk Super Bowl, talk Tom Brady, talk a lot of Patriots memories. This was a blast for me to record, for me to do. It always is when I share the microphone with you. Floor is yours, bud. Please let all of our listeners know, and we do have quite a few new listeners here on Locked On Patriots, so please let all of them know where they can find you, your great work, and what we can expect coming from the desk of full press coverage in the coming days and weeks.
Well, I surely hope that those new listeners stuck around after listening to me for the last 20 minutes, but if you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at IGLEN31. And of course, just check out fullpresscoverage.com, fullpresshockey.com, and fullpresswrestling.com, and download the app, available free. And you can get all these podcasts and great content from a lot of great writers. I mean, all these people make me look a lot better than I actually am. So don't take my word for it. You know, check it out for yourself. And I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I can assure you, as someone that's worked for you for the past few years, and someone that I am honored, folks, and I mean that with every bit of sincerity, to call a true friend. This guy makes it look easy for us. What he does behind the scenes is definitely not easy. He's built a great home for so many great writers, including myself, at Full Press Coverage. I'm honored to write under his heading, and I always will be. And again, it's an honor for me to join him each and every Monday morning through Friday as we talk the latest in all of professional sports. We mix in some pop culture. You'll hear me talk about Cobra Kai. We'll both be talking about 24. A lot of Seinfeld references, but what can I say, buddy? This was a lot of fun. Enjoy the game this weekend. Stay safe, stay well, and we look forward to having you back here on Locked On Patriots really soon.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
And so, Patriots fans, we put a bow on the week that was here on Locked On Patriots, and I sincerely hope that you've enjoyed our Super Bowl 55 coverage while still maintaining our Foxborough focus. And while Monday's show will feature some Super Bowl recap, it's time to be all about your New England Patriots once again. Draft profiles, free agent strategy, Foxborough financials, and so much more. So to be sure that you do not miss a single second of the action, download and subscribe to the Locked On Patriots podcast on platforms such as Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure that you're staying locked in to Locked On Patriots. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank my good friend Ian Glendon for his time, his insight, and his appearance on today's pod. But most of all, I thank you so much for listening and for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until Monday, Pats Nation, stay safe, stay well, continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone, and enjoy Super Bowl 55.